Okay, I hate to break up social hour with the preacher's wife, but I know. Okay, let's start by opening the Word of God to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and then we'll move to where we left off last Sunday morning. Now, what we need to do is start with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is so imperative that we understand spiritual love, because that's what we're commanded to do in our lives, to walk in that love. Father, I pray your Spirit will open our eyes and we may see what spiritual love looks like and learn about it from the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior friend. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm sorry, but we're going to turn off the music. I could talk over it. All right, John chapter 14, let's just once again read from verse 16. One of the most important, if it's not the essential in the church age, is the sending of the Holy Spirit. The gospel is the sending of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts and the church age, the sending of the Holy Spirit. How did that come about? Verse 16 of chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Don't look for a man like me, because the other paraclete is going to be a spirit. You won't see him. Whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments, plural too, faith and love, and keeps them, is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. Theologically, great battle passage. I thought God loved everybody. I thought Jesus Christ loved everybody. And there's just one of the problems about understanding love. There is a way that God the Father loves. There's a way that Jesus Christ loves. But if you want to be benefited by that love, is what we're talking about here. Erroneous view of Jesus Christ is so prominent. Yes. How about right there? Good. All right. Yeah, I can hear it. Very good. And because people have erroneous view of Jesus Christ, they do not understand the love of Christ. So, Jesus Christ reveals himself. And therefore, because he reveals himself, we can know him. And we learn about him, and he reveals himself to us in his word, so that you can know what Jesus Christ really is. Some people know the Jesus Christ of the law. We want to know Jesus Christ of love. That's how we're going to understand the true Christ. Now, let's open the Word of God, if you will, to our second passage, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and this is where we left off last Sunday morning. Verse 1, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God. Impossible. So what it's talking about in context? In context, you have to go to the previous verse. Verse 32 of the previous chapter, which says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God. In what sense? Forgiving one another in Christ. Christians have a reason and a foundation for forgiveness. Unbelievers don't. Yet many unbelievers forgive much readily than, more readily than Christians do. And they don't have any reason. They have no reason. We have a reason. Christ has died. So therefore we should forgive in Christ. But even at that, let's go to verse 2. And walk in love. Alright? This is the great issue. This is the new commandment given to us by Jesus Christ in John 13. Here it is, walk in love, present active imperative of the verb walk, which we've studied in Colossians chapter 4, and meaning this should characterize your life. It should characterize your daily life. Jesus Christ is not here. Therefore, people you run into at work, on a plane, in a grocery store, wherever you go, if they're going to see the love of Christ, it's going to be in you. Because He's not here. He is not going to be here on earth at any time during the church age, except inside of believers because of the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit. So if the world is going to see how Christ loves, it's going to have to be through believers in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize one more time the imperative mood. It is the least accepted, the least expected of all the moods. It was the last thing developed. In other words, the imperative mood, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Maybe you can, maybe you cannot. But this should characterize your life. Jesus Christ declared, a new commandment I give to you. Paul, in reference to the new commandment, and here in Ephesians, uses the imperative. Therefore, he says, walk in love. He also says in Colossians, put on love. He also says, pursue love in Corinthians. So we're to pursue love, we're to walk in love, we're to put on love. People, and so many people, okay, I'll just put on what I think is love. That isn't going to work with God. God is not impressed with human love. God is not impressed with our love. We are impressed. Why not? It comes from me. So why shouldn't I be impressed? And if I'm impressed, certainly God is impressed. I got bad news for you. God is not impressed with human love. He's just not impressed. A mother's love. A patriot's love. God is not impressed. God is impressed with love that comes from His Spirit. That is spiritual love. So this should characterize our lives. In this, in spiritual love, all commands are fulfilled. Take all the commands of the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law, all the commands of the Word of God. They're all filled when you and I do spiritual love, which means we allow the Holy Spirit to pour in spiritual love in us. This is what should characterize our lives. Spiritual love. Walk in spiritual love. Pursue spiritual love. Put on spiritual love. That you love one another just as I have loved you. Not as you want to. Not by what you think. But as I, Jesus Christ loved. See? So we have to know about His love. Now let's look at Ephesians 5 here. Walk in love. This is agape. This should be our goal, our momentum in life, to walk in this love. But you've got to understand what kind of love this love is. This is not an abstract love. This is not a love that comes from the flesh nature. This is a love that comes from the Holy Spirit only. It isn't even my love. When you see something like love, joy, peace, patience, all these things, they're not mine. They're the Holy Spirit's. He pours them through me. Same thing with you. They're not seeing how you love. They're seeing how Christ loved. That's why it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We'll see how He loved. Therefore, when we love that way, people will see how Jesus Christ loved. Not how I love. Don't want you to see how I love, because my love is pitiful. It's controlling. It's manipulative. It's all these horrible things. But if they see the love of Christ, that is a love that attracts them to God and to Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ said, if you have this love, just as I love, all will know something about you. Not all men, all. Angels and mankind will know something about you. They will know that you belong to Jesus Christ. That's the great issue. If we love as Christ loved, therefore, they will see Jesus Christ in and through us. Love is known in a person so that all may know Christ. Love is known in a person so that all may know God. How are you going to know God? You know God through that love. For God so loved the world. In this manner, God loved the world that He gave. He doesn't love that He saves everyone. If someone rejects Him, doesn't want His love, fine. He leaves you alone. And you'll spend eternity separated from Him. By your choice. Your choice. That's the love of God. He gave His best. He gave His Son. That you could be benefited by His love. People, that's the great issue. Being benefited by love. Not being loved. Being benefited by love. Many. A woman is not benefited by the love of her husband because she doesn't choose. She's busy with other things. Many men do not benefit from the love of their wife. They're too busy. Too busy with the world. Too busy with other things. Too busy with another woman. They're too busy. The great issue is not being loved. The great issue is benefiting from that love. That's the great issue. Many of children are not benefited by the love of their mother. Their mother loves them, spanks them, feeds them, trains them, teaches them. And they grow up rebelling against it. They're not benefited. They're not benefited by the love. The love is there, but they're not benefited by it. They rejected it. They rejected it. And that's what a lot of Christians do with God. It's what all unbelievers do. That could die as an unbeliever. That's what many Christians do. They're not benefited by the love of God, the love of Christ. They don't spend their time in the Word of God learning about that love. They don't spend their time in God's Word, learning, letting Him reveal Himself to them through His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't know it. So, love is known in a person so that all will know God. Love is known in a person so that all will know Jesus Christ. So that all may know and experience how God loves. Walk in love. Now, our passage says, walk in love just as Christ also loved you. Another way of wording the new commandment. The new commandment, love one another, another believer, another one like you, love one another as I have loved you. That's Christ's words. Paul, in the power of the Spirit, says, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. See? There is that very important adverb, kephos, translated, just as. So let's take up a few things about kephos, or just as. One, just as, a Greek adverb that specifies. Over and over, we have this principle. We are not commanded to just walk in love. Not commanded to just walk in love. This Greek adverb says, this is a specific love. This is not an abstract love. This is not a love that you manufactured, but a most definite love. Just as Christ loved. So this cannot be a love that you want it to be. I'll love you on my terms. I'll love you as I see it. How love ought to act. And it's amazing how people do not understand the love of God. Well, if I were God, 100,000 babies wouldn't die every day from starvation in the world. If I were God, that's the way I'd love. You don't understand. You don't understand the plan of God. You don't understand that from the time that Adam and Eve left the garden until the first day of the millennial reign, this is Satan's world. Satan rules the world. There was a theology proper, meaning God ruled, in the garden. But once Adam and Eve fell, walked out of the garden, Satan was given control. He has control through the rest of the age of the Gentiles, through the age of Israel, through the church age, through the tribulational period. At the end of the 7 years, Jesus Christ takes Satan, throws him into jail, as it were, and sets up another theocracy where God rules in the last 1,000 years on earth. So you got to understand God's plan and how he works in history. So this is not a love that can be produced by man. This is a love that can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus Christ love? By the power of the Holy Spirit. He did not love from his divinity. Had he loved from his divinity, we could not imitate it, because we're not God. He did not love from his perfect humanity, because if he loved from his perfect humanity, we couldn't do it. I think one of the great shocks of my life was that I wasn't as wonderful as my mother led me to believe I was. See? So, no matter how much we're told those things, we're not. So we cannot love from our perfect humanity. So we're out. But, if, and he did, Christ loved from the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit that he gave us, we can now love as he loved. See? So it has to be a love of the Holy Spirit. This is a specific love, a love that can be known and can be produced in every believer. Point two. People have so much trouble with the whole concept of love because they disassociate love. Love to them is some abstract concept. It's nebulous. That you have to do this or that and so on. They get some ideal of love from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They get some ideal of love from Hollywood. Don't let Hollywood tell you about what love is. Even a good Hollywood movie. Don't let it. You want to learn about love? Here's your book. Here's your love book right here. This is your love book. This tells you all you need to know about love. And what you need to know. What you should know. From the very first words to the very end words. This is the book in which we learn about love. How to love. How to know love. This love is knowable in a person. Just as he is perfect righteousness, and is right. Our righteousness has no merit before God. The only righteousness that we have that has merit before God is his righteousness imputed to us when you believed in Christ as Savior. Any human good we do has no merit before God, just as human morality has no merit before God. Human morality is very important. I wished America was moral. It's immoral. But the only reason I wished it were moral, that would at least set up an environment for the spreading of the gospel. As we move further and further away from the cross and become more and more an immoral nation. No longer a Judeo-Christian culture, but a pagan culture. We do not understand morality. Okay, let's go to point three. The adverb. We're dealing with the adverb kephos, translated just as. The adverb is used to introduce comparison. Comparison. So, compare your love. Compare the way you love with the way Christ loves. There's the comparison. See? Compare the way you love with the way God loves. God loves in that He gave His very best. He gave His only begotten Son. Christ loved in that He gave His best. He gave His life on the cross for us. So, compare your love to that. Or are you willing to do that for other people? You love for one another. Love for husband and wife, friends, so on. Even your love for self must follow the pattern of Christ's love. Your love is to be compared to His love. So you want to, don't compare your love to another Christian. Well, at least I love better than they do. I love better than he does. I love better than she does. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. They're not your standard. You want to compare your love? Compare it with Jesus Christ. That's the only person you have to be concerned with in the comparison of your love. So you compare your love to His love. His love is not earned. His love is not deserved. His love is not based on a performance system. A lot of people's love is based on a performance system. You do. I know parents who actually love and treat their children on a performance system. And if their children don't perform, they withhold. They withhold love. They withhold even conversation. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. I learned about God's love from my own mother. When I was bad, she came after me with a switch. But I got a good meal, and I got a hug, and I got a kiss goodnight. That's God. He will discipline us, but He'll never desert us. He's always there. He's there to love and to discipline. So we've got to look at how He loved. His love is not based on performance system. His love is from the power of His Spirit, whom He has given to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. In human love, we are prone to compare our love to someone else, and we're also prone to having a performance system. If you don't perform, I don't perform. You don't do what I want, I don't love you. I won't show love to you. See, that's the way most of us deal with love. But, in spiritual love, we are to compare our love with that of Jesus Christ. Just as Christ loved you. You've got to know how He loved. That's got to be always on your mind. Not how they loved me, not how they acted, but how He loved me. Always get your focus on the right person. There's the object of your love. There's the standard of your love. So, you got to always be occupied with Christ. In 2 Corinthians, Paul exhorts the believer to test themselves, search themselves. So here, test yourself. How does your love compare with the love of Jesus Christ toward you? It's very personal. Not toward the world, but toward you. How does your love for one another compare to your love compared to Jesus Christ's love? That's where the comparison comes in. Jim, come on in. Come on in, Jim. There we go. Love to see you, Jim. Love to see you, man. Talk about a Christian who knows how to love as Christ does. There's one right there. There we go. Okay, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love just as Christ loved. And we're taking a look at the adverb just as. And we've noted point one that the Greek adverb specifies our love. It must be just as Christ loved. Secondly, people have to so much trouble with love because they disassociate love. How to love? We've got to understand Jesus Christ. Three, the adverb is an adverb of comparison. It is with Christ's love that we compare our love. Now we're at point four. The Greek adverb compares the manner in which we love, just as Jesus Christ loved. How did Christ love? By the power of the... Two things you want to remember when you ask the question, how did Christ love? By the power of the Holy Spirit, sacrificial to self. Those are two things you want to always remember when you think about, well, how did Christ love? He loved by the power of the Spirit. He loved sacrificially to himself for the benefit of others, even his enemies. So therefore, this is how we are to love. Yes?
Jesus Christ did have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Yes. That's how he did everything.
At the baptism, right?
Yeah. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came upon him.
I guess I was sort of in it as kind of like that was his leave behind.
He walked by leading of the Spirit when he went up to be tempted of Satan after his baptism and the miracles. Now, there are two, maybe three occurrences where he did it in his deity to show that he was divine. But most everything Christ said and did was in the power of the Spirit.
I always thought it. You'd have the freestanding God, the freestanding Jesus Christ, and then this ephemeral spirit of equal capacity.
They are, but the humanity of Christ needed the Holy Spirit.
Oh. Okay, got it.
The humanity of Christ.
Mm-hmm. So, did he have the Holy Spirit when he hit the ground as a kid?
With what?
Did he have the Holy Spirit when he hit the ground as a kid? When he was born,
okay.
Jesus Christ...
Yeah, the Holy Spirit guided him, but what we understand as indwelling, that happened at the baptism when the Holy Spirit came upon him. But he was guided by the Holy Spirit the minute he came out of the womb.
And John the Baptist did the baptism? Is it that point?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it says the dove came upon him. That's a symbol of the Holy Spirit.
Didn't know that.
The indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And see, this is the... It's so interesting how God wants us to know those things. With Jesus Christ, it was just a dove, and we understand what happened. Day of Pentecost, it was the fire and all of that. But through that church age, there's nothing. We have nothing to let us know. We just know from Scripture and faith that when you believe in Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
But of the three, the Holy Spirit is more powerful on this earth now than Jesus Christ was when he was here as man.
Yes.
So it goes God, Holy Spirit, then Jesus Christ. Or well, all three are equal.
All three are equal in their deity. But when you bring Christ into his humanity, he's dependent upon the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Okay? All right, now, so point four, the Greek adverb, compares the manner in which Christ loved. He loved in the power of the Spirit, sacrificially and beneficial, sacrificial to himself, beneficial to his enemies. And so this is the way we have to understand. If you're going to love as Christ loved, then your love may have to be sacrificial to yourself. And that can be in a lot of different ways, people. The ultimate, of course, is lay down your life. But you only get to do that once. Once you lay down your life, that's it. You're gone. But what the ideal is throughout our life, throughout the day, there are things that we just... What is very important to me? I'll tell you what's very important to me. Time. Time. But when Judith wants time, or somebody else wants time, I've got to give it. And that's our sacrifice. Another category where you can see it is money. I've saved money, going to buy a big screen TV, going to buy something like that, and I run across a believer who really needs it. Not needs it because he wants a TV, but needs it just to get by in life. So, sacrifice what I was going to do and give it to them. That's the sacrifice that we've got to be ready to do in spiritual love. Time, money, patience, all these kinds of virtues that are very important in life that we hold on to. We just don't have time. I don't have time to help you. I don't have time to do this. Well, you're too busy. Too busy. That's where we have to sacrifice. See? So I will sacrifice time, money, patience, whatever it is. Because that's what this other believer needs at this point in their spiritual life. Not just, please be understand, this is not sacrificing money so that they can go buy a TV. That's not what it's talking about. They need it just to get by. They need it for food, for clothing, for whatever it is in that area. That's what we're talking about. So this becomes a great issue in loving sacrificially for the benefit of someone else. By this, they will know. They will know. That person will know. Angels will know. Others will know. Okay? All right, let's go to point five. The Greek adverb, kathos, that we're studying, translated just as, is used to denote degree or magnitude of love. It's used to express degree or magnitude of spiritual love. As, that is, our love should be of the same magnitude as love for Jesus Christ had for you. And the magnitude of his love, he gave himself on a cross. Gave himself on a cross. Every time we see a cross, you're seeing the magnitude of love. That's what you're seeing. That's the magnitude of his love to the all. He gave his all for our sins, for our problems. See? So, the magnitude of his love, he died for us. Now, and he died for us when we were what? When we were his enemies. It's one thing that you die for a friend, but to die for an enemy? Not many will do that. He did it for every one of us when we were his enemies. 1 John 3:16. Okay, point six. The Greek adverb, just as, that is with some impact, some effect, as his love. And the impact and the effect of his love, that we might be saved. That's a powerful impact. That's a powerful effect. That we can be saved forever and forever. See, the impact of his love. Now, how would we do this in our life? To restore, to reconcile, to help a believer lift up. That's our help spiritually. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Look at Galatians chapter 6 a moment. Here's the impact the effect of love. Brethren, so this is believers. Even if anyone, talking about another believer, is caught in any trespass. Now, we've dealt with this many times. This can mean one of two things. One, you actually catch them in the act of a sin. Or two, it can mean they're caught up in a trend of sin. We all have trends of sin. I'm glad I don't have Bill Clinton's trend. No, your trend probably is worse because yours is arrogance. Yours is self-righteousness. And you don't see it. But we all have a trend in sin. And it's very wise to, the sooner we can grasp what our trend is, and so we can nip it, to quote Barney Fife. All right. Now, if a brother, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, now, you who are spiritual, filled with the Holy Spirit, restore such a one, looking to yourself, so that you, too, will not be tempted. Now look at the next one. How do we do this? Bear one another's burdens. Well, what the Greek is talking about here is that is caused by sin. Bear one another's burdens that's caused by sin. I was taught when a believer's being suffering from sin, stay away from it. You're getting in trouble. No, it's not what the Word of God says. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, you go and help them. You bear the burden that their sin is causing so that they can get up. The best way I know how to look at it is a person's on the ground, they got a heavy load that they're carrying on their shoulders. You help them lift up that heavy load so that they can what? Stand up. They can't stand up with that heavy load. See? And so you go over and you lift it off of them. Now they can stand up. And then you give it back to them real quick. No. But you help them get up. That's what you're doing here. So bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ, people? To love sacrificially and beneficially to the other person. That is the law of Christ. That's His love. The law of Christ is His love. This is my law. A new law, a new commandment. Love one another as I've loved you. The law of Christ. Love one another as I've loved you. What did He do for us on the cross? He took our burden upon Himself. He took the burden of our sin and put it on Himself. So, if another believer is having difficulty in life, even if it's caused by their sin pattern, well, you deserve what you're getting. Oh, that's really wonderful. That's really good spiritual love. See? That gets you off the hook, doesn't it? Doesn't help them. Doesn't help them at all. See? So, you go over and help them. Lift that burden so that they're able to get up and walk in Christ. That's what you and I have to do. So, point six, the impact or the effect. Does your love reconcile others? Reconcile them with God. Reconcile them with you. Reconcile them in life. Or does it keep them as your enemy? Keep them being an enemy of God. See? A lot of churches have a bad attitude about all of this. Homosexuals, lesbians, adulterers, pedophile, well, pedophile dealing with the court's law, but they're welcomed here. Why? This is a hospital. This is a hospital. And I love what kind of doctor I am. I could never, ever be a doctor and deal with somebody coming in an emergency and their body is just tore up in front of me. I couldn't do it. I would get sick and have to get out of there and we'd both be in trouble. Them and me. See? Judith did a really bad infection to her big toe last week. And you know what she had me do? She had me take a needle and drill it through the toenail down to the, so that the buildup of the blood would come out. That was the worst thing I ever done. Good grief! See? So tomorrow she'll go to a doctor do it that has the right utensils. See? And get more of the blood, pus, and all that out of it. But I couldn't be that kind of a doctor. But the kind of doctor I am, people come in nicely dressed generally, not always, but generally. And they come in somewhat mannered. And so I can be that kind of doctor. But this is a hospital. It's a spiritual hospital. So, does your love reconcile you with others? This is what many believers like to play with spiritual love. Change its impact and even its meaning. But the impact is on you and another believer. The impact of Christ's love is we have a relationship with Him. He reveals Himself to us. We're reconciled with Him. How wonderful is that? And we're reconciled daily. When we go back to faith recovery, see? We avoid being enemies by being reconciled through or by means of spiritual love. See? So that's what we're talking about in this place. The love of Christ is your standard by which you measure your own love. Don't measure your love by other people. Don't measure your love by someone else's love for you. Measure your love by Jesus Christ's love for you. He is your standard, not others. And how they love you or how they don't love you. Now, our passage in Ephesians 5 says, walk in love just as Christ. Christ. Here's the standard of our love, people. Here's the person of our love, Jesus Christ. Don't follow what the world calls love. It doesn't say walk in love just as the world loves. It doesn't say walk in love just as Hollywood defines love. It says walk in love as Christ loves. He's the standard of your love. He's the standard. Don't follow the world, follow Christ. Ask yourself about your love. Is your love like that of Jesus Christ? Or is your love more like Satan's love? You have to ask yourself. Well, we got a few minutes left, but I see Greg back there, and he wants to get ready, set up for our next class and dealing with... I'm going to title Greg Matthews' entrance this morning, I fought a bear and the Lord won. So let's get ready for fighting a bear and the Lord winning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you've shown us what love looks like. And then Heavenly Father, that you've given to us the power, the ability to love as Jesus Christ. That is an awesome concept, that we can love just as Christ loved. That's frightening. That we can love just as Jesus Christ loved us when He went to the cross. Wow. And we can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, whom you've given to us, and we receive His power by grace through faith. We praise you, Father. I pray your Spirit can use the things we've studied this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.